This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show today. Dominic Salvia, our friend and colleague and host of the Dom Salvia Show, from 4 to 6 p.m., going to be joining us at 10:33 to do another round of all the best people, round five, I guess. Yeah. I'm not sure what round we're on. At 11:06, Emily Pritzkow is the executive director of the Wisconsin Building Trades Council, and she is going to join us to talk about a new major solar project.
Fantastic.
That is going up. It's called the Apple River Solar Project, and going to be using lots of union labor for that. So we're going to be talking to Emily Pritzkow about that. 11:33, lightening things up. The Holiday Folk Fair is coming back to Milwaukee. Dr. Paul Trebian is president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which produces the Holiday Folk Fair. He will be here at 11:33 to tell us what you can expect if you're going to go to that event this year. And as we always do, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the insurance fraud edition. It's a good one. It's a good one. Again, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. And a reminder as well, if you were looking for some new merch, perhaps for Christmas.
Ooh, that's a coming up.
Huh?
Yeah.
Civicmedia.us, check out our Civic Media merch. We've got hats, we've got t-shirts, we've got stickers, we have all kinds of things. So go to civicmedia.us, click on the shop button, and take a look.
I'm pushing for new merch next year.
Are you?
I want fresh merch. Fresh stuff.
Fresh stuff?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Something to shoot for.
Yeah.
Something to shoot for. We are going to start off, though, with talking tariffs.
Why, Jane? Don't they fix everything?
Well, apparently not. From Forbes magazine, Forbes.com, Trump's tariffs will probably cause Walmart to hike prices, according to the chief financial officer. We do have some clips, do we not, Greg Bach?
Yes, we have a clip of Mark Cuban speaking on this matter at a rally, I believe it was last month, giving the all-out truth on what tariffs, and we've talked about this many times.
Many times.
Tariffs are not the magic bullet. They're not going to solve economic problems, even though from a macro level, the economy is very good. The tariffs are not going to make it better. So, Calvin, can you play that clip?
Now, he has this crazy, crazy, crazy notion that putting a tariff of 60% on every single product imported from China is a good idea. Let me just tell you, this man has so little understanding of tariffs, he thinks that China pays for them. This is the same guy who also thought that Mexico would pay for the wall. So there's no misplay. You know, we all know that across-the-board tariffs are a tax on everybody. All the major economists have said so. Kamala has talked about it over and over again. But, you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of credit. I honestly think that he used to understand how tariffs work. I mean, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, he was a little bit coherent when he talked about trade policy. And he actually made a little bit of sense. But I don't know what happened to him. The way he's been thinking about tariffs and trade now, something's a little bit lost. And now his trade policies, particularly with tariffs, are basically just gibberish.
And a tax on all of us.
Yes, we pay the price for those tariffs.
Walmart's chief financial officer telling CNBC, his name is John David Rainey, there probably will be cases where prices will go up for consumers. Regarding the impact of Walmart's prices of about 10% tax on all imports and 60% tax on Chinese imports. Rainey added that tariffs are inflationary for customers. It's not immediately clear how quickly these tariffs could go into effect. The odds of a 10% across-the-board tariff in 2025 are low. That is according to J.P. Morgan's chief U.S. economist, Michael Feroli.
So they're saying that it's a low chance he'll put a 10% tariff on?
Across the board.
Hold my beer. That's what last thing you want to do is tell that man you probably won't do it. This is a man flirting with 1,000%.
Yes.
Which is dramatic.
Or 2,000%. Yes. Or 200%. Or just, yeah. I guess, whatever number he thinks is good. Here are three companies. The CEO of AutoZone, Philip Daniel, told analysts in September that tariff policies had ebbed and flowed, but if Trump implements more tariffs, we will pass those tariff costs back to the consumer. We generally raise prices ahead of that. So that's historically what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Columbia Sportswear CEO Tim Boyle told his analysts on an October earnings call, the company is very concerned about the imposition of tariffs and that while Columbia is pretty good at managing them, trade wars are not good and not easy to win. He said Columbia, the company is set to raise prices.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very difficult to keep products affordable for Americans.
I like the usage of that phrase trade war, trade wars, as Tim Boyle said. Usually a war is fought between two sides or many sides, but they're fighting each other, you know, look back in history. This is a one-sided war. This is a arbitrary raising of tariffs at the whims of a man who thinks he is king against countries who he loves to prop up their leaders and he loves to talk great about them, but then does these this makes no sense whatsoever. There's no reason to go into another trade war with China, another, because we did it before. It didn't work. Like we said, I don't know why Biden didn't get rid of him, but this is a one-sided trade war being led by a guy who just speaks out of every side of his face, and it's going to end up hurting the American consumer.
It's going to make things cost more.
Yep.
The CEO of Stanley Black & Decker, Donald Allen, told his analysts in October that the company is evaluating a variety of different scenarios to plan for new tariffs. Obviously, coming out of the gate, there will be price increases associated with tariffs that we put into the market, adding that there's usually some type of delay given the processes that our customers have around implementing price. He also said they're going to consider moving out of China and into other countries like Mexico to reduce the impact of a 60% tariff on Chinese imported goods. Just a little side note here. Notice he did not say they're coming back to the U.S.
No.
No, they're going to go to Mexico.
Which I could see Trump directing a tariff towards them. His mass deportation and I just honestly, I don't see why Mexico isn't going to be immune from a possible tariff. I mean, especially like with his statements on the wall, which Mexico never paid for, by the way.
No, it didn't.
Ever did. We did.
Yep.
We did. So I just feel like it's almost like any country with major manufacturing isn't safe because he'll just slap a tariff on them.
Well, and in talking to some of the folks that we've talked to over the last couple of months about how this works, there does appear to be a justification for strategic tariffs.
Yeah.
But not when he keeps talking about across the board tariffs on everything. And that is going to fix all of our problems. And that just isn't reality.
No, it really isn't reality at all. I mean, the cost of things, certain products are high. How do we fix them? I mean, I'm not going to tell you I know the magic cure. I don't, but tariffs isn't it. And we're hearing from companies who are run by, my guess, not bleeding heart liberals. At least in any case, they're not. They've said outwardly they're going to pass the cost of these tariffs on to the customers. They're not going to suck them up. They're not going to they're not going to subtract them from the bottom line. We are going to pay for
them. We're going to pay for them.
Because they want to stay in business. Makes sense. It's America. Capitalism, sure. Do your thing. But this, my big thing about this whole topic is when prices go up, he will somehow be walking through the raindrops of blame through on supporters. They're going to find a reason to blame the Democrats, Joe Biden,
immigrants,
Kamala Harris, immigrants. They'll probably blame it on Hunter Biden's laptop. And I wish that was a joke. It's just how it works now. He does what he wants. It has a devastating effect on the people, but the people do not place the blame on him.
And don't forget, Elon essentially said that, yep, we're going to have some hardships.
Yep. 2 years.
Oh, just a couple of years of hardships. A couple years of hardships.
Yep.
Sorry about that. But then after that, everything's going to be ducky.
Yeah. And I'd love to know what those hardships are exactly going to be, because people are going through some hard times right now. So.
Donald Trump said in September that tariffs are the greatest thing ever invented, indicating his preference for tariffs as a domestic manufacturing catalyst. Economists largely agree tariffs will increase inflation, coming at a bad time as annual inflation is down from the four-decade high of over 9% to a still historically above average high of 2.6%. So I don't know, you may want to start, if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Get your Christmas shopping out of the way.
Right now.
Right now.
Like right.
And if you're considering buying a car.
And I am.
That might be something you want to do before the first of the year.
Oh, I can't do that. I got to pay for Christmas presents. I mean, yeah, we're going to get hit hard. And it almost seems like on purpose, because they can. And what are we going to do about it?
Well, there's that.
So it's very disappointing, because you just want to, you just as an American want to, I think for the most part, for most of us, should be able to pay our bills, live a good life, be comfortable. I'm not saying rich.
Isn't that most of our goals is just to be comfy?
To just be out of paycheck to paycheck is a good place to be.
Yep.
But this will not make it easier. And this will not make it easier for all of us, regardless of who you voted for. And I'm just hoping that when people see the cold, hard truth, they might say, oh, maybe this wasn't the best idea.
Well, and again, it remains to be seen how these will be implemented. You know, he said lots of things. He says lots of things.
Yeah.
And whether or not they will all come to fruition remains to be seen. But we will keep you updated.
Oh, yeah.
We'll keep you informed. Talking tariffs. When we return, is the big time heading for a Wisconsinite? Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, Dom Salvia, our friend and colleague, will be joining us for All the Best People. We'll look at some more of the latest cabinet nominees for the next Trump administration.
Just the best bunch of dudes.
There's another Wisconsin tie in there, too.
Awesome.
So we will be kicking that around with Dom after 10:33. But speaking about a Wisconsin connection and potentially really heading to the big time, thank you, Peter Gabriel. Wisconsin Public Radio says Wisconsin's Ben Wickler among Democrats rumored for the DNC chair.
I think this is great. I think Ben is fantastic. I love his energy. We had him on the show last month. And he's just a good dude. I like him. And I feel like he'll bring a Wisconsin energy to the... I mean, he has done wonders for the Wisconsin Democratic
Party. He really has.
Especially in fundraising, because fundraising was only a problem with Democrats.
Yeah.
County by county, not easy. But he has brought in a plan. He's brought in energy and focus. And he's gotten a lot of credit for that, too.
He has been head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party since 2019, widely respected in battleground politics. As you said, Greg, he's credited with massively expanding the party's fundraising capabilities, drawing in tens of millions of dollars to fuel state races, and keeping Wisconsin competitive in a year when Dems lost badly, but not as badly here in Wisconsin. We picked up some seats.
No, and I mean, we also didn't, as far as national swing state, we didn't lose as badly as some other states did. I mean, it was a very tough election, and he won.
He did win, yes.
So, but the work that was put in through the Wisconsin Democratic Party in concert with the unions, in concert with people knocking on doors, there was an energy here. And that's going to keep going. And I'm not plumping for Ben Wickler right now. I just really like him. And I think that sort of Midwest down-home attitude of like, let's get the work done.
And let's go knock on doors and talk to folks.
Exactly. Wisconsin's ground game is stellar. Stellar.
And it's taken years to build it up mm-hmm. to this point.
Yes. 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 So I'm all in. I love this idea. I really hope it goes far. I think you need some. I think something we saw with Tim Walz's nomination as the VP is you saw a Midwest energy that people really attached to, and I think that Ben has that same energy, that wholesome, true natured. Let's get the work done. Let's do this together. And yeah, I really hope the best for him.
After last week's loss, this is from obviously the week before.
Yeah,
Ben Wickler pointed to Wisconsin's narrower margin of loss compared to other swing states as a sign of relative organizational strength. Wickler also got acclaim from national Democratic leaders. He got a shout out at the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
This would be good for him. But then who takes his place here in Wisconsin? Although he's got, as you said, pretty good ground game established. There must be people that are ready to slide in there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ben has already had this conversation with a few people on his own short list to say, look, if this happens... My plan, because I mean, when you work in this kind of industry, you're always looking up, and you have to, you know, all right, I'm the chair of the party now. What's next? Who do I surround myself that's great? Who do I trust? And who do I want to hand this over to? So I wouldn't be surprised if Ben already has that name in his mind, and they've already started doing the work.
Well, and again, he has not been named head of the DNC yet.
No.
There are a couple of other people in the running.
No.
So it's not like this is a lock for Ben Wickler.
No, but Ben is also the type of person who plans. And when you plan, you want to make sure that you have a replacement in the wings. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one to two names he'd be willing to be like, this is your person. I'm going to go take this. We're all going to take this to the next level. But yeah, I really do. And I don't, nothing against big states, but one thing I've learned in this election is that, you know, these swing states, Wisconsin, Midwestern states, we have a lot to offer, and we shouldn't be overlooked because we're not on a coast. Because we don't have a city with 3 to 10 million people in it. We have great things to offer as a region, as a state. And I think that Ben would be a great choice.
He would be a great representative. He really would. And I just have always gotten a real common guy kind of feel from him.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. There's nothing worse than, especially in campaigning politics. One thing when it's like government, but campaigning politics, when someone takes themselves way too seriously and they think that they are the everything, the beginning, the end, the middle, all that in a bag of chips. You're like, dude, can you just take a packet and go knock on some doors already? You know, and Ben is that total package. He's a guy who will knock on doors, but also
he's done it. Good heavens.
But also make those huge phone calls to get huge amounts of money from people and organize gigantic events. So I'm a big fan of him.
I am too. I think it would be a great pick. Mm-hmm. I would be sad to see him leave Wisconsin, but yeah. If he can take what we're doing here and bring it to a national model, that would not be a bad thing.
I don't disagree with that. Maybe bring the national office to Wisconsin.
Where is the DNC now?
Well, it's probably in D.C. Yeah, probably in D.C.
I would imagine so.
I have to imagine, yeah.
Just talking about Ben Wickler, the Wisconsin head of the Wisconsin Democrats, being considered to head the national Democratic National Committee.
Yep. Yep. And it is located in D.C.
It's in D.C.
Yep. And then Ben Wickler becomes of the mid. He's no longer of the people, because apparently, according to Eric Hovde, whenever you move to D.C., you don't connect with the Wisconsin people anymore.
He would have been different.
You're right.
He would have been different.
Still no call to Tammy. All right.
Yeah, no, still no call to Tammy. And don't worry, he's going to be back in a decade anyway. We're going to see him again. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Dom Salvia will be here for all the best people around 427. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same if you call or if you text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to talk to Emily Pritzkow. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Building Trades Council about this new big solar project that is getting underway in Wisconsin. Lots of union labor involved in this. That is a good thing. So we'll be talking to Emily about that. We will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is Insurance Fraud Edition. Right now, though, very delighted to have our noisy friend in studio with us.
Have you ever been in a radio room before?
Let's just knock some more things around, Dom Salvia. No, how are you?
I am awesome. Good to see you guys. Thank you for having me. It's been way too long.
It really has.
Yes,
it's good to see you, and thanks for coming down this much ahead of your own show.
It is my pleasure.
Appreciate it. All kinds of things we're going to cover in this half hour, Dom. And we wanted to do another round. We've been doing this as we get more cabinet appointees nominated or whatever under consideration. All the best people.
Usually the best people.
All the best people.
Hire the best people.
Donald Trump said that his first time around, and now he's trying to outdo himself, apparently. All the best people, round two, starting with Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy.
We did it.
We got there.
We're in.
The real world guy.
The MTV guy.
And the road rules. That's what makes him, as Pat Kreitlow said, qualified for Secretary of Transportation. He knows what it's like
to drive.
Cars.
To drive.
Yeah.
On roads.
Roads. They rule.
Roads, I mean, rule.
He obviously was in office here in Wisconsin for many years. Mm-hmm. And then he elected up north.
Then he wasn't, because he had to go make money to support a growing family.
Very large family. Nine children.
Wow. And his wife also part of the Fox
family
lineup. Yes.
Oh, and Real World is where they met. They met on MTV together.
So romantic.
Yeah, it really just makes you, you know. The
Gen Xers taking over. I mean, come on. The Department of Transportation, like 55,000-ish employees. That's a
It's a pretty big agency.
Huge agency, yeah.
Pete Buttigieg, big shoes to fill. I think Pete's a capable, intelligent guy. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I mean, Duffy, you know, he was a DA, he's an attorney. It's not like he's not a dumb man.
No.
But, I mean, can you go anywhere from besides Fox News for getting filling these positions?
I think this is what is at least a second pick from from the Fox News pool.
Well, Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
Was the first one.
Yeah. And he's got.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a whole. I know.
I mean,
that's a whole other pick we're not even going to get around to today.
Real, oh, man. So, the Duffmeister.
Doofington.
I just feel like this is a reward for Rupert because he's rewarding two of Rupert's employees.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be where he is without Fox.
Which is funny because how many times in the past 10 years has he railed against Fox on various social media forums for not being nice to me?
Not nice enough.
He rails on everybody eventually. You know what we should be doing is taking the, we'll call it Deadpool, the rejection pool. Like, of all these folks that are going to be now working with him in this administration, which ones of them at the end of this administration, we'll talk about how much of a fascist he is and how terrible he was to work for, and how many of these folks will Trump in the future say, just a coffee boy. I barely knew the man.
I don't know, because I really think he's what he didn't do last time. He didn't fill it with Trump loyalists, because there was no such really thing as a Trump loyalist, at least at that level of business and government. Now he's had 4+ years to cultivate and mine from those individuals who are like, you do you, boss. Whatever you want.
Have any of these picks that Trump has now put forward, anybody he hasn't seen on the television? Right, because aren't all of them like always out there on TV, like
in some way, shape, or form?
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like he sees him on TV and goes, "Oh, that's Central Casting,
Central Casting.
Oh my God, because he loves that. He loves that.
And he picked Matt Gaetz. Sorry, not attractive. I'll say it. I said it out loud.
But to your earlier point, Dom, I don't know that, and I agree with Greg. These people are all in. They are never going to come forward in a year or 2 years or 4 years and say he was worse than I ever expected.
Yeah.
No, but they're never going to last. I think the bigger thing is we should make a list of all of them and then see who's going to go first.
Didn't MSNBC, Maddow started doing that like in the first administration, and the board just got like too big. It was just too long. We're going to stop doing this because there's too many names. We don't even know what's happening.
There's another chief of staff.
Honestly,
one of these.
I think unless they are to go by way of criminal indictment or, I don't want to say death, but like, I think the first one to go, honestly, will be Elon. I think Elon and he will be too much for each other. It's too much ego
in one
small place, and it's just not going to. I mean, Elon's already, it seems like he's already overstaying his work. Someone said he broke the record for nights stayed over at Mar-a-Lago by Kerry Lake. He's there all the time. He's everywhere with him. He's going to events. He's like, he's on that call with Russia. He talked to the Iranian ambassador.
They're going to be at the launch of SpaceX either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, because Donald Trump can't.
I mean, don't get him started on the rockets. He's very impressed with the rockets and the paint job on the rockets. It's really something else.
You know who else loves a paint job on a rocket? My grandpa. He'll talk about that for a while too.
When naming John Duffy to head the Department of Transportation, Donald Trump said, "quote He will prioritize excellence, competence, competitiveness, and beauty when rebuilding America's highways, tunnels, bridges, and airports." He will ensure our ports and dams serve our economy without compromising our national security, and he will make our skies safe again by eliminating DEI for pilots and air traffic controllers.
So we talked about this today on Pat's show. We talked about the vicious, terrible anti-Americanness that's DEI as far as our pilots go. Either one of you. Take a guess, just of pilots in major airlines, how many of them are just black?
2%.
Oh, that's 3.9. 1.6 is Asian. 6 point something is Asian. And then 1 point something is Latino/Hispanic. 94.3% are white, and 10% of all of that are women. So really, is DEI really ruining transportation, the skies above?
Are white men that much better at flying than everybody else? Come on, you got to be kidding me. Of course it's not. It doesn't match the rest of the makeup of this country by far.
Well, and when I think about the airplane news we've had over the last year and a half or so, it doesn't seem to have been mid-air crashes. It's been mid-air doors blowing off.
Well, thank you, Boeing.
Which seems to me not to be a DEI problem.
Yeah, and that was, he goes, but Pete Buttigieg's here was doors blowing off. I don't think the government even had anything to do with it. I think that's a design flaw and an assembly flaw, and that's a private business flaw.
Yes.
So, yeah, also, that's so weird. Beauty. We have beautiful tunnels. I don't even know what that means. Make me understand.
It'll be very, very beautiful.
And how exactly are these tunnels and our port, how are these going to be funded? Oh, that's right. Didn't we pass an infrastructure bill?
Which has probably got to get repealed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Well, then how are you going to pay for all the beautiful tunnels?
It'll be the tariffs.
Tariffs, Tom. Get on board.
But are we going to use the tariffs to help pay for childcare? I mean, how much tariff profit are we going to split
here? That's why we have to, raise it to 2,000%.
Okay.
Because tariffs fix everything.
Yeah.
Tariffs fix everything.
The Charlie Kirk comment. Remember Charlie Kirk? If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. Charlie Kirk, big influencer on the right.
So, I know he is.
Yeah, very gummy smile too.
And what is Charlie's area of expertise?
He's Charlie Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got a PhD in Charlie Kirk.
Good to know.
Yeah, he's very good at talking at people.
Sean Duffy, according to the Washington Post, has little transportation experience, except he's driven on roads.
Yes.
But that's not unusual for people nominated to run the departments. Current Secretary Pete Buttigieg had previously been mayor, but past presidents have opted to buttress their picks with a deputy more deeply steeped in policy issues. Okay. He's going to have to work with regulators about Elon wants...
I'm going to stop you there. No, he won't.
Elon wants his self-driving cars. So he's going to be tasked with working with Tesla to make sure that Elon can get all his perfectly safe, nothing wrong here self-driving vehicles.
This is a reminder that the Cybertruck alone this year has been recalled 6 times. All right.
No speed limits.
Yeah.
I mean, can we just embrace the mega outlet? How about this? No speed limits. Come on, Duffy. Be there with
Dom,
me.
Dom, we are white men in our 40s.
50s.
Whatever. We should be the first ones up on the mountain. We should be planning a January 6th just in case, and I can't do it. I don't understand.
The other thing, too, again, according to this article in the Washington Post, the FAA has tried to fine Elon SpaceX over allegations that it has failed to follow rocket launch licensing. That's provoked a clash with Musk and his allies. And the other thing that's going on, he wants to launch rockets 3 times a day from Texas. Elon does. And there are all kinds of EPA problems with this. The launch site is surrounded by a wetland. And so the water that they're using to cool the ship, the rocket engines, they're releasing into these wetlands. What could go wrong?
I mean, it's totally fine.
I'm surprised Elon didn't just call up Greg Abbott and say, hey, take care of this.
Buy the wetlands. Elon, you got the money. Well, I mean, we don't regulate. I mean, how many licenses do you need to put a rocket up? Come on. One should
be enough.
Sufficient.
Yeah.
Just two.
Just two? Okay, two. Two. Well, we'll double it up. Two.
It's really a lot of burden.
And Elon, you think about the clash of personality. Elon's going to stay up. I'm just going to cut $2 trillion. Okay. Where? How? What? Yeah. How? I mean, these numbers. We're going to deport everybody. I'm going to get rid of inflation. I mean, these are the promises of this administration. These are the promises that got them elected. I don't see how that's going to happen.
No, it's impossible. I shouldn't say that. I take that back. It's not impossible. But to cut $2 trillion is incredibly difficult to do. Economists are already saying that, and it's not going to bode well for the American people. Getting rid of undocumented workers is going to gut punch this economy, and people aren't going to take those jobs. And then finally, we don't want zero inflation. 0% inflation is bad for the economy. 2% is where almost any economist who's ever been on television will tell you that's where you want it
to
be.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. And it's at 2.9 right now. And that's not great, but it's so, certainly not what they want you to think, which is like, oh, it's like 35-40%. No, it's 2.9%. And that's a little bit raised. But this
it
whole
was,
notion.
It was 9%.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
It's gone down.
Yeah. Yes.
Again, but those previous increases are still baked into the cake, which of course, and that's not going back. You know, that's not going to get unwound anytime soon. The prices will continue to increase. They don't decrease. But it is amazing how the right, and in some ways and on the left as well, the perception of how the economy is has changed since the election. The righties are like, oh, this is great. The economy is awesome. And the Dems are like, oh, this sucks. So I think that, but I don't want to fall into that trap. There's certainly people's personal economics. Everyone's got their own thing. But then there's the gauges, you know, the GDP, the unemployment rate, interest rate, inflation, those kinds of things.
Yep.
Those things are measured by independent agencies and put out there. We can argue about whether or not the measurements are accurate or not, but those are the historical numbers, and those things are going to remain the same. So the inflation as it is today, as the Republicans look at it, say, well, it's not so bad now that Trump's elected.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same as it was before Trump got elected.
Exactly.
So, but I don't want the Dems to also fall into the trap. While these tariffs could be very terrible, cutting $2 trillion out of the government budget could be terrible, but we won't know until that happens. And when that happens, we'll see it reflected in the GDP, in the BLS numbers, in the interest rates. Then we'll be able to gauge and say, I got a bad feeling about this. I'm like, you know, I'm like Han Solo here, got a bad feeling about this, but it's not there yet.
Yeah.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dom Salvia and all the best people around 19. It's Matt Nair on air. Stay with us. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. 1 hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Insurance Fraud Edition. So stick around for that. Delighted to be joined in studio by our friend and colleague, Dom Salvia, who has his own show across the network from 4 to 6 p.m. We were talking about all the best people coming into the next Trump administration, and we've spent a little time talking about Matt Gaetz as Attorney General and reports that he had sex with a 17-year-old girl and
allegedly,
and took her across state lines and used Venmo to pay for it.
Wasn't the subject matter in the Venmo like for college?
Oh, was that yeah. What it was? Well, extracurriculars? Yeah.
We know all about it because the guy who tried to strike a deal didn't get help. So he said, you know what? I'm going to sell you out from start to finish.
He's in jail.
He's in jail. But he helped with the case because he wasn't going to get any protection.
Yeah, exactly. We have a couple of clips from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, a highly moral man.
Oh, indeed.
Very, 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 very moral man. Kevin, let's play clip number one from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson weighing in on Matt Gaetz's nomination.
Gaetz, as you know, had been facing a House Ethics Committee investigation over numerous allegations, including one that he had sex with a 17-year-old. We should note that Gaetz denies that allegation. On Wednesday, you said this about the House Ethics Committee's investigation.
The Speaker of the House is not involved in that, can't be involved in that, so I'm not really the person probably to answer that question.
But on Friday, you did want something to do with it. You said the House Ethics Committee report should not be released. Oh. In between those two comments, you did speak with President-elect Trump. Did he encourage you to change your position and to squash the House Ethics Committee report from being released?
No, he did not. The president and I have literally not discussed one word about the ethics report, not once.
Lying's a sin,
I've been with
Mike.
Him quite a bit this week between Washington and Mar-a-Lago and last night in Madison Square Garden. But
yeah, that was a weird photo, too. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, God, yeah. Him and Kid Rock
and
Dana White.
Dana White. It was just, that was a real brain disconnect there. Yeah, we don't need to see the report.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
It's all good because he's a private citizen now, Dom.
Well, of course, he wasn't then. The guy resigns 2 days before this thing is going to get released, and Trump puts him on for, Attorney General?
Yeah.
I mean, so this is the opposite world, right? Let's put the anti-vaxxer in charge of the vaccines.
Yes.
Let's put what did Mitt Romney refer to Tulsi Gabbard as? A Russian propagandist.
A Russian asset.
I believe a traitor, he also said. That's the Republican talking about Republican. Let's put her in charge of DNI. I mean, what? This is exactly as the speaker has alluded to. These are not burdensome, troublesome picks. They're there to shake it up. That's what they're there for.
That's the only thing. Uh-huh.
Disruptors.
I already feel shaken up as it is. But here's a question. If Matt Gaetz gets confirmed, he's then a public citizen again. I feel like he's well and within the rights of we should know what's going on with citizens who work for the government.
Well, I do not understand in any way, shape, or form how someone who has these kinds of allegations against him And you're going to make him the most powerful attorney in the country.
There's a adjudicated rapist re-entering the White House.
There's that.
Are you really shocked?
No, actually.
No, yeah. I mean,
and Gaetz would not be alone because Pete Hegseth signed an NDA.
And paid
her off to not talk about it. And Robert Kennedy Jr. just got Olivia Nunzi fired from the Times for having an affair.
I mean, but
not
does,
to mention Donald
does,
Trump
does
has
video own... sex really count? I mean, is that really an affair?
Yeah, folks, let us know your thoughts. Please let me know your thoughts on that one. Also, let's not forget adjudicated rapist, but also his own set of, the Stormy Daniels thing, which is an NDA, paid her off for sex. I mean, to say that these are moral individuals isn't even laughable anymore. It's just what rock are you under? What are you smoking? Why can't you accept reality? All those questions apply, and they can all be, I don't know. But the thing is it's just absolutely ridiculous. And then Mike Johnson goes on to say they've never done this before. And Jake Tapper says, yes, they have, because there's proof.
Released a report on an ex-congressman.
Yes.
That is not without precedent. That's happened before. In the couple of minutes we have left, I just want to share this from Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson.
Oh.
Talking about Matt Gaetz, he said he hasn't seen the findings from the allegations that Gaetz sexually assaulted a minor. I know he's got potentially some issues out there.
Some issues.
I don't know what they particularly are. I haven't seen the ethics report, so he'll go through the confirmation process, and I'll keep an open mind. What do these guys read? Do they read anything?
Oh, they don't read.
Oh, that's the secret.
Yes. That's the secret.
Yes. Is that the secret to a happy life?
So you don't have to be aware of the facts. If you don't read it, if you don't know, then you can claim ignorance. I didn't see Donald Trump's tweets. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know nothing. I just work here. I mean, it's...
ignorance is bliss.
Oh, God.
The expectations. When we have people like Mike Johnson, who stands up there, pretends to be, and claims to be this righteous individual, and then gives a pass on folks that would normally be considered not very righteous, can we just discount their righteousness?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, thank you.
That'd be a good starting point.
Thank you. We'll start there.
Dom Salvia, join him this afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. Stay with us. News is next. You are listening to Matt Maher on air, coming to you across the statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
Thunderstruck!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.